still counting my blessings.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another very special episode of Ignite Radio Live.
You are with Greg and Stephanie Schlieder over the five mighty stations of Annunciation Radio.
Mighty they are.
For the Almighty,
Indeed. Even.
We declare it, we proclaim it, we ask you to join us in living it.
Yep.
Go to ilovemyfamily.us to join us to go more deeply into this great adventure of marriage and family. There you will find many things, but in particular, the Live It Gathering Guide, which will help you to foster a greater culture of prayer and conversation in your homes. You have different questions, different prayers, but in particular, the focus on the upcoming Sunday readings to really just go there and more experience the Lord's grace more deeply together.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit,
amen.
Dear Lord, we just want to be real before you. We desire just, Lord, that you make yourself known through that difficult situation each of us are experiencing that's in our mind right now. To have confidence in your healing, transforming, reviving grace. In your holy name, we pray for this. We pray for the healing, the transformation, and the reviving of your grace. We ask all of this through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So, Steph, in this newer season of Ignite Radio Live into our eighth year, we have been particularly focused on this theme of heaven come to earth. Heaven come to earth. Your lives, in every struggle, difficulty, joy, celebration, every facet, is a custom-designed retreat by God meant for ever deepening encounter with Him. So when I use the word retreat, some of you rightly are thinking, Crucio, Chirp, Acts, anything that we've done, wonderful, great things. But they're all meant to forge us from mindfulness of how our ordinary lives, our custom-designed retreats by God, our homes are that place, our relationships are that context, meant for what? For ever-deepening encounter with God. And so the format that we are taking up, if you will, is really kind of sharing a little bit of our family story, Steph and I just being really candid and honest, and then we talk about, as we will today, key news items from the Catholic loop. And then we punctuate this with the best news, the great news, the news of Christ speaking to our condition. And tonight also we're going to hear an amazing homily, maybe 7-8 minutes long, from our beloved pastor, Monsignor Borger of St. Joan of Arc. So Steph and I got back yesterday from a fun little sojourn to Columbus, Ohio.
So this is Dominic's first, you know, apartment by himself on his own. And quite remarkable as a younger gentleman. He's 18. So just obviously very proud of him on so many levels. But so just to help christen in a way, I don't know if that's
a great
the right word. As family, as, you know, siblings, and even little Magdalena helping out. But as his parents, to be a part of forming that environment, you know, certainly the blood, sweat, and tears, which you give great witness to in putting together the furniture, you and Colin in particular. But, you know, Annie and I kind of in the kitchen trying to, you know, organize and set up his cupboards. And anyway, and the prayer, you know, going through each room and blessing. And so just beautiful, just beautiful. So that and for them to have each other, to be together. Everyone keeps asking, are you guys going to move to Columbus? It seems like, you know, and another one's talking about perhaps going there at some point. The answer to that is no. There's no plan in that. The Lord will guide us as He will. But as many of our listeners know, with adult children, they're definitely not permanently settled there. Mm. And many have shared like, oh, yeah, I got up and we moved there and then everybody left. So we are blessed to be here and be that kind of point of visit and coming home to and such. So, yeah. So just I don't know if those are probably enough
wonderful
mom thoughts, but
wonderful.
Just blessed to be able to help and provide in that way and to enjoy it together. And, you know, there's nothing. Families, you know, obviously the most important thing to do is to pray together, right? But to play together, we had some great silliness and fun. You know, to work together side by side is also so filled with grace and
challenge.
And challenge, and that's even more grace, right? Mm.
If we see it that way.
Yeah. I mean, we can keep talking.
Well, I was batting maybe 75%, 80%. No, it's all good. It is chiseling.
Yeah, so just very blessed in that way.
So a little stat that was shared with me, and this is drawing from my heart, my gut, my experience over the last few months, was that a school as magnificent as Steubenville, somebody had shared with me leaders at that university had shared with them that it was the highest rate of dropouts in years, and that more had been partaking of the, so shall we say, the mental health, psychological help on campus. And I say that because Steubenville is a magnificent, spirit-filled, godly university, I think sets a standard throughout the world, right, of their vision and mission and the sacraments and the grace flowing. And if they're experiencing a real challenge with really good people, really good families, we know the trickle down of what must be experienced by others who don't know God, who don't have faith, who are struggling throughout the world. We know that there is literally a pandemic of depression. There's a cloud that's lingering over many. For whatever reason, we could say the increased secularization, the digitalization, the COVID stuff. There's so many things that we can point to. But let's just name it, that young people in particular, in the age group that are partaking of digital media more than others, it seems to be, if you layer those graphs on top of each other, are experiencing unprecedented mental health challenges, depression challenges. So let's just acknowledge that reality, isolation, really confusion about matters faith, confusion about matters morals. And I want to just take the step then further and say, as a family, and I mean our broader, bigger family, certainly my siblings and Stephanie's siblings and all the children, which for us, we have collectively over 100 nieces and nephews. And I would say even our family of those of you who are listening right now and close to us, we know the languishing. We know the deeply felt pain of children right now. I can think of innumerable who are struggling with mental health issues and moral issues, decisions made that just blow you away for children that you right now listening to me may be thinking, wait, this child grew up in our home. They're forged by faith in Christ and went to amazing experiences that we sacrificially provided for them to know Christ and to live for him and to make really good decisions. And when they don't, it's just, gosh, it's just a heartache. And I'm just right now acknowledging that this, for in many instances, has hit us in this family I just described, this larger family, and close to home. So sometimes I think even more powerful than the Pentecost mystery, which is a supremely birth of our church, the Holy Spirit falling, powerful moment, right? And certainly the transfiguration, the apostles going up on the hill with Jesus and seeing the manifestation of his glory. How powerful, how overwhelming. And most of us yearn for that. We're all yearning for that, right? That revelation of God and the power in those moments. And let's face it, if you will, shadows of those in our retreats are the most momentous moments in our retreat experiences that break through the clouds and the debris. So we need those. Absolutely. But I'm going to say this. I have been made aware of the tremendous power of the first sorrowful mystery. The power of Christ being in the garden, abandoned by his friends, knowing what he's going to face, knowing the physical suffering. And I do believe, even heavier than all of that, Christ's biggest anguish, I believe, was knowing that he was going to go through all this and that the grace, the mercy, the redemptive, transforming, healing power that would be poured out on the cross would be rejected. That to me was an anguish, I'm sure, that is unsurpassed. And I'm going to connect that now to us parents. Parents, we who pour ourselves out for our children to know Christ, to live for him. We create contexts of encounter. They see the lines of the highway paving the way towards him. They see around them and they're apprised of those who hit the berms, through life. And then they make those decisions anyways. This is that moment, though, where I want to say, for those of you who know people in your lives who have experienced that, this is that moment when we see the brokenness of decisions made, and let's face it, all of us to different degrees make those decisions. That's the first thing to be said. Small or great, the smallest decision against Christ is enough to keep us out of heaven. It distances us from him. So let's just punctuate that. But in these epic ways, significant ways, it must be said that that's when our faith is revealed. It's when we experience these heartaches in humanity, those closest to us, that faith is revealed, because the story of redemption is no longer a story, it's a reality. Do we believe that this is why we go to Mass? This is what it's all about. This is what prayer is all about, is Christ who took on flesh and blood. Heaven came to earth to redeem us, to transform us, to invite us into a new relationship with him. So I just want to punctuate to those of you grandparents and parents, right? We've been blessed in hopefully having navigated through most of that stuff, the stronger, right, moral decisions in our lives. And let's be mindful maybe where we struggled with some of those, maybe in our own lives, but maybe we're struggling with decisions made by our loved ones. Number one, this is where redemption matters. The story becomes a reality, that God is working. He's operative. There is hope. There is hope. There is hope. He has his hand in it. And to know therein the limitation of our role. God's role is the ultimate role. He's wearing the cape. He's the superhero. He's the one who has to save. And yes, there's a cooperation on our part of a loving, engaging, let's journey together. Like, okay, decision made. Sin happened, separation. We renounce shame if you've been to confession. We renounce the lingering clouds that are over you if you've been to confession. Absolutely. Let's pray together for an ever greater hearts and minds that repent. And by the way, that means to turn more fully to God who made us for himself. Like, now it becomes real. Now the Mass, all the more when we're struck by these moments. And again, it's around us. It's in the papers. It's in our families. Those make real the gospel. Those make real the power and the purpose of Christ coming to earth. So don't miss those opportunities, all of you who are listening. Don't miss those opportunities to be praying with the heart of God and to punctuate them with a we language. Hey, we're on this journey. We're on this journey of more fully recognizing how God summons us to an unsurpassed intimacy with himself. We renounce the shame. Enter new into the light, like all of the apostles who abandoned Jesus in the garden. Every single one of us have made decisions that merit hell. Let's just say it. We have. And you know what? The small sin, insofar as it does that, we separate ourselves from him. We continue to do it. But the story is God's hand ever reaching down into our lives. And this is where, Steph, I have to punctuate again the great power of even the logo of Father Ricardo's rescue project. I mean, does that not say it all? It's the hand reaching down from heaven. And I'll say, until, I don't know, we've been struck by the anguish of sin in our lives and others and around us. Until we've been struck by that, to some extent, our faith is going to be a storybook. It's going to be kind of mythological, kind of, well, I go because I should and I'm a good person. Until we come to him radically seeking his loving presence and embrace, coming back to him, until we're aware of that reality in our lives, it's just a story. Is not today, in the midst of the struggle that we're all facing, right? Some with depression and mental illness and all these things around us. Is this not a moment to say, Lord, we come before you. We need you. Together, we want to say yes to your hand summoning us back to this intimacy with you. And oh, by the way, it's not just me and you, God, it's all of us together. It's family, it's husbands and wives together, seeking that grace and experiencing the embrace of God, focusing anew on him, and just really pining the depths of that grace that we need. And I don't think that can be understated. We need the grace to have the right perspective of mind. We need to have the grace to think clearly, to be, if you will, free from very strong temptations. We can go into the stats on porn and infidelity and all that. The temptations are super strong, but they can be overcome. They can be overcome. They can be overcome. God can transform us. So just sharing a big piece of my heart, Steph.
So the beautiful scripture, where sin abounds, grace abounds more, mm-hmm. right? And all things work together for good for those who love God. When we see or experience these things around us, that the Lord is calling us, as you said, to ever more deep intimacy with him, and that we need to look at the areas in our own lives, right, and see where the Lord is calling us to a deeper encounter with him, mm-hmm. that it's not just they did this or, oh, like a heartbreak for, you know, I mean, gosh, so many things have been shared with us, with those close to us, where just crushing, right, and whether it's children leaving the church or scary, evil things, right, mm-hmm. and so yes, to be supportive, yes, to pray for, yes, to help counsel or be a listening ear, but aren't those things meant to be, you know, all the more reason for us to grow in our relationship, mm-hmm. to look at our lives personally, like, what are the ways that I am not honoring you, Greg, mm-hmm. you know, and because those are the foundational things. And I'm not saying, oh, if you, you know, are impatient or not understanding or not submissive or not this or that or the other thing, then it's going to lead to. But it's, again, to be open to the great plan that the Lord desires for us.
So a great lead in here at Ignite Radio Live with Greg and Stephanie Schleter, sharing a little bit of our story this past week. Punctuated with very positive family gathering and connectivity and getting our third child settled in Columbus, Ohio, and then just sharing a little bit nebulous on the specifics, but some heaviness in family circumstances. There's no blessing without brokenness. We see that in the Mass. This is my body broken for you. Blessing comes by way of brokenness. And until that happens, until we recognize it and see it in small and great ways, guess what? This faith is just a fairy tale. It's not real. We're going through motions. So the blessing is we're going to enter into Lent pretty soon, discovering and connecting with the ways in which we're fallen and seek His grace. So all that, let's play this just released song by Essential Worship is the publishing company, but recorded Joseph and band crew playing this song Praise, which I just think is just marvelous.
It is
so
powerful. That in all those circumstances to give praise, to give praise, to give praise. So it's actually, I think, a cover song, right, by
Elevation Worship.
Yes.
I'll praise on the mountain, praise in the valley. I'll praise when I'm sure, praise when I'm doubting. I'll praise when outnumbered, praise when surrounded. 'Cause praise is the water my enemy's drowning. As long as I'm breathing, I got a reason to praise the Lord. Oh, my soul, I'm gonna pray.
Lord, we just pray that the sounds of praise in our souls towards you reverberate in our minds and hearts and overflow to all around us. Amen.
Praise you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, Steph, we're going to go into our consequential news stories from CatholicVote.org, The Loop. And I think a great way to set that up is actually just playing our beloved pastor, Monsignor Borger's homily from this past Sunday. We desire the good. We desire the true. We desire the beautiful. We desire this intimacy. Which of us don't desire that? And God desires it more than us. He made us for that. And that, to some extent, means to entrust ourselves to his authorship. He's the author. He wrote the book. We can either, you know, follow that design, that, you know, if you will, the storyline that God has for us, or we can presume to go off that path in another direction, in which case we're not going to experience the delight and the joy. So let's, with no further ado, listen to Monsignor Borger's homily, really articulating beautifully this great insight, this great gift that God gives us in his authority.
Back in 1983, a rock and roll singer named John Cougar Mellencamp sang a song. You may remember, it was called "I Fight Authority, and Authority Always Wins." He keeps repeating it in the song. I examined the lyrics yesterday, and I don't find any real deep meaning to them. It's not clear why he wants to fight authority. It seems to suggest he thinks by fighting authority, it will keep him young. If he quits fighting authority, it will be a sign that he's growing old. Well, there's some truth that when we're young, we kind of want to rebel, I guess, and fight authority. Authority's out there, and John Cougar Mellencamp doesn't really name it. It's kind of nameless, faceless, kind of the enemy. So he keeps fighting authority, and he keeps losing. The gospel passage today, authority has a face and a name, Jesus. The passage clearly says Jesus has authority. In fact, people are amazed by it. He teaches with authority, it said. He teaches with authority unlike the scribes. By this is meant the scribes of Jesus' day, who were scholars, they typically backed up their teaching by citing their sources. They would cite the law of Moses, the scriptures, their teachers, what other rabbis were saying. Jesus does not do this. He doesn't cite anybody. He speaks with his own authority. Often don't you hear in the gospel where Jesus will even say, "You have heard it said, but I say to you," and he speaks. Jesus demonstrates his authority in a number of ways when you think about it. And this is kind of what the first part of the gospel of Mark is about. Jesus calms the storms, for example. He has authority over nature. He forgives sins. He has authority to forgive sins. He heals the sick. You may remember the story where he heals the paralyzed man. He says, "So you might know the Son of Man has authority. Rise, pick up your mat, and go home." And today, as we heard, he even has power over unclean spirits. Jesus speaks, things happen. And so in a way, in the gospel, we hear how authority comes very close. He has a name and a face. Now, it's true, we modern people like John Cougar Mellencamp perhaps resist authority, and it might have a bad name in a sense. Authority can be abused. Authority can become authoritarian when it seeks to control and compel and force people. But we recognize, of course, that Jesus' authority is different. It's not a worldly kind of authority at all. Very different. His authority is not about controlling or compelling or lording it over us. Rather, as we know, he comes among us as one who serves. He comes that we might have life, life in abundance. In the story we heard today, the evil spirit asked him, "What have you to do with us? Have you come to destroy us?" Well, one way, sense, yes. He's come to destroy the power of evil and sin. He puts death to death in a way. Has he come to destroy us? Of course not. He comes to heal, teach, to save, to give life. Jesus' authority is most definitively revealed, of course, in his death and resurrection. That's the clearest sign of his authority. It's interesting that the original Greek word in the, that we translate as authority in the New Testament is exousia. It means an authority that comes deep from within someone, their identity. And of course, that makes sense with Jesus. His authority comes from deep down inside of who he is. Of course, the Holy One of God, the Son of God, the Anointed One, the Messiah. The good news is this. If we yield to his authority, if we let the Lord be the Lord of our lives, we experience, in a way, his freedom. We experience his grace. We experience and understand his truth, power, his presence in our lives. We experience life because of him. Jesus says, I've come that you might have life, life in abundance. When you really gets down to it, you ask, well, what is Jesus' authority really all about? It's about the power of God's love, a love that's for us, a love that's more powerful than death, a love that wants to share its life. That's his authority. Now, there are those, of course, in the scriptures and the gospels who fought his authority, right? They fought him. They lose out, in a way, miss out. But there were those in the Gospels we know, the great holy ones, the saints, who opened their hearts to him. They heard the good news, and they responded to it. And in this, they let him be the Lord of their lives. They surrendered to his authority, let him be the king. And in this, they found freedom, the freedom to love, to be the children of God. We follow in their footsteps today, don't we? Gather here for the Lord's Day on Sunday morning. We're kind of in our synagogue here. Jesus comes close to us now in his word and in the Eucharist. He teaches us with authority. No wonder we sang for the psalm, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. He comes not to lord it over us, or to compel or force anything. He comes not to destroy us. He comes to serve and to be served. He comes that we might have life, life in abundance. The more and more we let Jesus reign in our hearts, and reign in our families, reign in our homes, the more clearly we see the path to life. And we recognize that he is with us on this path, guiding us, healing us, forgiving us, strengthening us. It's a bit of a paradox, isn't it? His authority, something so many people seem to fear or want to flee, his authority is what sets us free. His authority, of course, rooted deeply inside of who he is, the love of God in the flesh for us.
So we just heard Monsignor Borger's beautiful homily from this past Sunday, speaking of this authority and the goodness that the Lord desires us to have through it. So, gosh, thank you for those words. Hopefully they will inspire and encourage you as they did us.
A quick note here. I just want to thank all of you clergy who really pray into, you know, your homilies and try to bring heaven to earth, if you will. Try to speak to our circumstances here on earth and boldly do so. Just hear our gratitude. More than ever, people, even if they're inclined other than where the church teaches, at some depth of their spirit, they're looking for a fatherly guidance. They're looking for someone to speak to the languishing, because that's the result they have if they're going against the church. We can't break the truth. We can only be broken by it. They're struggling and suffering. We all are, the degree to which we resist this truth. So you're that herald. You're that gift from God, and we just affirm, pray for, support you, and cannot say strongly enough how much our world is in need of that shepherd's staff to guide us along that path. So with profound gratitude, hear us say thank you. Amen. And just be assured of our prayers. Thanks. Yes. For letting me interrupt.
Yes, yes, and yes. Good interruption. So we keep pulling you back to Catholic Votes, The Loop, which we think is just a great daily check-in that you can subscribe to and to know what's going on, so that we're not just hiding our heads in the sand and falling on the crutch of, oh, I, it's just too much for me, and I'm just praying for everything. We are called to be a part of bringing heaven to earth and knowing what's going on. And, you know, again, that balance, that balance, that balance. And I've said this before, but for me, because I can fall into the, you know, news overload moments, but I love to know what to pray for or how to pray. Without further ado, here are some highlights from this past week to inform you on some consequential things that are happening in the world.
Here we go. Number one, murder during mass in Istanbul. Two masked assailants opened fire in a Catholic church in Istanbul during mass on Sunday morning, this past Sunday, reportedly killing one person during the consecration. A manhunt is now underway. And I think we have such comfort, unprecedented comfort and safety in this country, even though we're going to be having some tidbits here on the border and all of that, which raise concerns. How many countries are completely without that confidence or peace in going to mass? How many experience the church in the way many did in the first three centuries of the church, where just to worship was an act of tremendous courage because they knew if they were discovered, it meant their life? And this is a bit of a small taste of that, but it's a taste of what many face throughout the world. And it begs the question, what does our faith really mean? Mm-hmm. What does our faith really mean? Are we willing to go to church? Are the folks who went there going to keep going to church? That would be a test, right? That in that culture where such violence took place, gunfire opened up, somebody killed, if that happened in our local parishes, brothers and sisters, would we choose to still go to mass? It's a really good question worth asking, because what we really value is revealed by what we're willing to sacrifice for. And I'll say it again. What we truly value is revealed in what we're willing to sacrifice for. And I'd say the second part of that is, these are brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to be praying for them.
And again, it's not a news story that we would typically find in mainstream media anywhere, really. So great to have it here to know and to be reminded, not just in this situation, but my goodness, the thousands and thousands and thousands of persecuted Christians throughout the world that we need to hold in prayer. And again, bringing it back to our life, like you said, Greg, like, let us not take for granted the great privilege that we have in being able to go to mass, in being able to go into our churches, being able to pray publicly, even though there are definitely things, you know, that attack against it and we're targeted in different ways. Praise God for the gift that we have in that. So second story, Black Democrats sue Chicago over migration. A coalition of Black Chicago Democrats is suing the city government for placing migrant facilities in their neighborhoods. Quote, for the past year, anger has been mounting in Black communities across Chicago as residents watch resources they say they desperately need to go to the newly arrived migrants instead, Olivia Rengold wrote. So again, you can click on all of these stories to get a fuller, more detailed picture of it all.
So as a perspective, since August of 2022, a little over a year ago, Chicago has greeted 35,000 new arrivals with resources like laundry services and mental health screenings, 35,000 people, and 15,000 in rental support per person. So this is a city, Chicago, right? We already know is beleaguered with so much and the violence and the struggle they have interior. Add that layer of the new arrivals. And I think this is worthy of a conversation at some point, is what is an authentic Catholic perspective of a nation that has a right to define its borders for a whole host of reasons, but not the least of which are safety. And I would say compliance with its view, with its views, with its, in our case, hopefully a constitutional republic that we are working towards. But here is a city that is known for all that it's known for, asterisk, and the leaders are rightly recognizing you can only, you know, you can only handle so much. We can't give what we don't have. And there's a hierarchy, right? There's a hierarchy of value and subsidiarity. We need to take care of that which is closest to us. If I, as a father, is as significant as the issues may be in the neighborhood three over, if I recognize those issues in the neighborhoods three over, but I'm neglecting my attention fundamentally to my own wife and my own children and those closest to me, I'm not doing a service according to God. I'm dismissing that which is most fundamentally my responsibility. And so all we're seeing here is actually a very positive acknowledgement of subsidiarity, that we've got to take care of those entrusted to us, which I think we're going to hear a note, number 6 or 7 of this, that also addresses, because connected to this is the border question. So, number 3.
On a positive note, historic Latin Mass at the Capitol, the first ever traditional Latin Mass was celebrated in the United States Capitol building last Tuesday on the one-year anniversary of the leak of an FBI memo that targeted, quote, radical traditionalist Catholics, unquote. The liturgy was a powerful reminder that the American government was founded on religious liberty and that Catholics are welcome there, said Catholic Vote political director Tom McCluskey. Very cool.
About 70 people in attendance. And again, other conversations may be coming to mind as you think about this. But at the end of the day, it is to respond faithfully to what has been revealed in the fullness as Catholics of our Catholic faith. And what a marvelous occasion there, really heaven come to earth, right? A profound experience
literally,
of heaven
right.
in the halls of our Congress. Number 4, this is, I think, a marvelous testimony to a bishop of Arlington who blasted Biden for the pro-abortion rally he held in Virginia this week, calling it incredibly devastating, unquote, that, quote, Biden would place choice over his sacred duty to protect life, unquote. End quote again. President Biden has made abortion the centerpiece of his campaign, Burbidge wrote. At a rally in Manassas, Virginia, he advocated for codifying Roe v. Wade into law. What more can we say? I think, number one, thank you, Bishop Burbidge, for articulating this, making it prominent, whether it was ignored or seen. Thank you, bishops, for speaking out boldly and truthfully. And set aside the labels. You know, lose the labels. We're just acknowledging that the Democrat Party has made abortion one of its key centerpieces on demand through 9 months of pregnancy and even beyond. That is the Democrat position on abortion.
And again, just a reminder, as we read these stories or hear different things about President Biden, my gosh, are we praying and fasting for him as a fellow Catholic, quote unquote, maybe, but just, I mean, that should matter. But for any of our politicians, right, if they are making so boldly a public sin, we need to pray for their conversion. We need to pray for mercy. And especially as he's getting older, and as you always like to say, as someone's landing gear is down, are we just criticizing and, you know, and again, gosh, rightfully so in so many cases, but are we using as much energy and time to pray for his conversion?
Number 5 of 6, Senator tells horrific stories of border crisis. Senator Roger Marshall, he's a Republican from Kansas, on Tuesday told 12 stories of violent crimes committed by migrants who entered the country under the presidency of Joe Biden. Quote, as Biden downplays the severity of this crisis, we will bring awareness to the violent crime happening across America, and we will not stop until we secure our borders, unquote, Marshall wrote. Probably enough said, but back to that worthy of a conversation episode where we can talk about what is an authentic Catholic, loving, godly Christian position of genuine care for those closest to us and legitimate protection, legitimate oversight and protection of those places entrusted to us. That is not happening at the border. It's become a cesspool that has caused proliferation of child sex trafficking and a whole host of all the rest, which is absolutely devastating. And again, lose the labels. We can lose the labels. We have a vested interest, right, in caring for this land that God has called us to and making judicious decisions. And so even though these clearly align, I think, with different parties, the values that are underneath them transcend Republican or Democrat, and let's attend to the principle and not just to the politician.
Well said. Moms for Liberty winning. Moms for Liberty co-foundress Tiffany Justice recently sat down with Loopcast Erica Ahern to discuss school boards, so-called book bans, institutionalized Marxism, and the genesis of Moms for Liberty. quote, we are engaging a whole new group of people into politics and getting involved in their community. And that's what's winning. And that's what winning looks like. Mm-hmm. So I remember however long ago when this group was founded, Moms for Liberty, talk about like get boots on the ground, incarnation, like finding out what's really going on. And a lot of that, unfortunately and unfortunately, was through the COVID crisis, right? And all the stuff that was happening and people taking a greater interest and then stories coming out and school board discussions and, you know, these parents, moms in particular, saying we need to do something to protect our children, right? And so total involvement, like pouring themselves in and discovering more and more of the evil and ungodly things that needed to be cleaned out of our public schools and the effect that that was having. And so and how some of these seemingly little things were just not so little, like the seeds beginning to grow into very not just anti-American, but anti-family, anti-child, anti-God things. And so we highlight this story for hope, right? And for kudos, if you will, for getting involved. It's so easy for us to complain about things and wait for somebody else to do something. But this group in particular, I think, has really rallied a lot of good people to make a difference in our country. So they have more in the article and also the link to the actual podcast.
Well, God bless moms. God bless moms. God bless moms who are really living in the fullness of their appointing and anointing as moms. There's power there, moms. And speak. You know, speak. Now is the time to speak. The world is listening. And the beauty of, you know, ordinary, quote unquote, ordinary folks coming together and doing extraordinary things. So if and as you become aware of these challenges or any like them, certainly in the organized level of let's gather at the school board meeting and discuss this, don't miss that opportunity. But even more, just encouraging you in the conversation while you're sitting in the bleachers as your kids are playing basketball and you're sitting next to somebody and the conversation comes up. Be familiar with these issues and have the right questions, I think, is the best way to approach this. Ask the right questions. Hey, here's a book that literally talks about rape and pedophilia, and it's in these children books, and it's, you know, if you will, being spoon-fed truly to younger children, have exact evidence, exact examples. Do you think that that's a good thing? Most people, I believe, are good, honest, conscientious people. And if presented with these facts, they're going to answer them correctly. They're going to, you know, get on board, if you will. And so the information is very key. Can't say it strongly enough.
And even an encouragement for parents to go in and directly talk to a child's teacher or principal to get in the game there, not just like, oh, I don't want to read this and, you know, kind of side skirting, afraid to offend people, offend at the protection of your children. Amen. That's what's most important. We started out these news stories thanking Monsignor Borger and his marvelous homily, kind of setting the backdrop for all of this. So I guess to just move to encourage our listeners, if you've been very much moved by your pastor, priest's homily, please let us know. Send us a link. And as we're able, we may choose to air it also to inspire others.
Absolutely.
So
on that note, by the way, we really want to answer your questions and entertain your thoughts, criticisms, bring it. Let's let this be a platform of meaningful conversation from a faith Catholic perspective, but bring your honest questions and you can send them to alive@massimpact.us, alive@massimpact.us. With that said, let's turn to our gospel for this coming Sunday. From the Gospel of Mark. And again, this is part of the Live It Gathering Guide. Phenomenal. Begins with fun questions as a family as you gather them. You have five daily questions. You know, it's a victory, what's a challenge, something you're grateful for. Great to ask every day when you're together as a family. Why? Because it taps the paschal nature of each person. Life, death, resurrection, how that's playing out in our daily lives. It connects us to one another. It gives us just attunement to the journey that each of us are having, without which everything else is just scaffolding and languishing. Everything else is secondary to the drama of one another's lives and asking these questions to mine the depths in one another. So all this is at ilovemyfamily.us. We are now just going to take up the gospel, and I'm going to front load it. What struck you, challenged you, inspired you? What questions did it raise? Let's begin with awareness that God is speaking to us through revelation in a particular way through the gospel. So let's just begin with anticipation that, Lord, right now in this moment, open my mind and my heart to hear your voice speaking to me. A reading from the gospel according to Mark. On leaving the synagogue, Jesus entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever. They immediately told him about her. He approached, grasped her hand, and helped her up. Then the fever left her, and she waited on them. When it was evening, after sunset, they brought to him all who were ill or possessed by demons. The whole town was gathered at the door. He cured many who were sick with various diseases, and he drove out many demons, not permitting them to speak because they knew him. Rising very early before dawn, he left and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. Simon and those who were with him pursued him, and on finding him said, "Everyone is looking for you." He told them, "Let us go on to the nearby villages, that I may preach there also. For this purpose have I come." So he went into their synagogues, preaching and driving out demons throughout the whole of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I liked your little sigh edition.
Well, kind of reading in a little proof texting the gospel, but can you hear it though?
No, because like I heard like, "Let us go." Woo, I'm ready. I had my time with my Heavenly Father, and
okay.
I have such a heart and a desire to pursue, to help, to go after. So it is interesting how the Lord speaks in different ways, because that could have been it, or maybe that's how the Lord spoke for you to hear it, just to connect with a sense of, right?
And yeah. Depending, well, how many of us feel that after pouring ourselves out,
sure.
breaking away, and oh,
for
by the
sure.
way, the dishwasher is broken, and
the
heat and car, and
we're not speaking from personal experience
no,
or anything.
No. So that's already a piece, Steph, that spoke to us that we press on anyways, and hopefully we can pray for the delight. Because truthfully, humanly speaking, when we've been exhausted with something, this past weekend we spoke of helping a son get set up in his apartment, and there was a point at which it was, okay, day two, day three, we're going to keep, you know, helping and doing this as we can. And it is, if you will, a choice in life.
And we're getting older, too.
And we are getting older.
We don't have the energy.
So what struck you, challenged you additionally?
Okay, so a few things, highlights for me. So as it said, Jesus entered the... Well, actually, gosh, I have a lot, but I'm going to try to limit it. On leaving the synagogue, Jesus entered the house. So for us as Catholics, do we leave our churches and go to
where we're called to be.
Where we're called to be.
Huge.
Right? So just that first line on leaving the synagogue, right? So just...
get out there, ecclesia, called out, not
yes.
just called to gather, but to go. Are we going and proclaiming the gospel and manifesting the kingdom?
Amen. Amen.
Boom, next point.
Okay. So, and the fact that it said Jesus entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. So Simon's mother-in-law was there in Simon and Andrew's house. So just kind of what struck me too is the whole... family, the familial, and I know that that was that time, but just the connectivity and community.
The brothers, the bros.
Of multi-generational, and then bringing other people into it also. That was something that when we were blessed to be in Rome this past fall, that stood out to us, just how the culture there, at least what we experienced, was you had the grandparents and the kids and the grandkids and together out at dinner.
Delightful.
Or, you know, in the streets together, but just that the beauty and solidity and foundation, strong foundation of family.
It was lived too. You got the sense it wasn't just the special moment where they had their tea time on Tuesdays, but they were immersed in each other's lives.
Like just feel, I mean, you saw, like, again, you're in Italy, you see the hands flying and the voices raising a little bit. But so just the beauty of what all of that is. So that struck me, just the whole family thing. What really jumped out to me, the two other things, the first one was as Christ grasped her hand,
The word grasped.
The word grasped. So just to linger with that word for a minute, like it's not like gently held or, you know, touched.
He's
or,
eager. He's enthusiastic.
But just that. But like when you grasp something, it's like you are. It's intentional, right? It's deliberate. It's like a holding onto. Like it's a helping. And so, it doesn't say. And then he prayed over her or commanded her sickness to leave. It was. He grasped her and then the fever helped her up. And so she's still leaning into it, right? He's helping her up. It doesn't say he, you know, so it's a both and.
Cooperation.
Yes. Which just to cooperate with that grace. And that's when she was healed, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the power that he just did it. And it's, you know, she didn't fight it. You know, I don't know if that makes sense, but again, something to kind of pray into was very beautiful. And then kind of probably a no-brainer, if you will, kind of obvious, rising very early before dawn, he left and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. Just that continual challenge for each of us, to you, to me, to every single person that the Lord has ever created, that it is not a luxury, but a necessity to take time with the Lord. And for most of us, it needs to be or makes the most sense to be early in the morning before going off. And even if that's not your solid, lengthier prayer time, I just think it's the most important way. I don't care if it's 2 minutes, you know, to dedicate those first 2 minutes of the day to the Lord, to come before Him. But hopefully, you know, to make that sacrifice of getting up earlier to have that time and then what the Lord can do with it. I know we keep quoting Father Ricardo because he's so quotable, but just their chapel, and they talk about this on their website, and we were blessed to actually see it. It's the St. Joan of Arc Chapel in their little home headquarters, if you will, home base. But they call it the trailer, with the whole idea of just as, you know, a construction crew or whatever the proper phrase is, as they, you know, go into the trailer to look at the blueprints, to see what is next in the day, to see what their tasks are. You know, aren't we even more so called to come before the Lord, to pray, to say, Lord, what do you desire of me this day? What is your will for me this day? What do you want me to focus most on? You know, both personally, internally, and then also the tasks ahead. And obviously, most people listening have, you know, set jobs or whatever their vocation obligations hold, but that doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't fine-tune and direct and guide how to use them. So just to come before the Lord to pray in that way just always jumps out to me, because we can all do it better. We can all do it more faithfully. We can all give it more time. And just be more intentional, and not just intentional, but to be expectant, to be hopeful, to know that the Lord's going to speak, the Lord's going to move, the Lord is. And so many people I know, you know, I can hear already, but I don't feel anything, or that's okay. Like the Lord honors you showing up, and will continue to refine our hearing, to refine our trust, but have expectant hope.
You're amazing.
Amen.
Thanks for marrying me.
Not amen, that I'm amazing.
Ministered to by you. I love your words,
no,
because
God
even though they're
so good.
They're
God
not
so good.
New, but the reverberation of that truth, I'm being blessed in this moment by you proclaiming it, and the value of knowing God loves us and the sacred time he offers if we accept it.
And just we're not to be doing in his God presence. A favor. That's the thing.
Well,
so
no,
often we
but
look
he yearns
at it,
for us
right,
connection
I'm
and
just
all that. So he delights
what
in
you're
it.
Saying.
Yeah.
Right.
So my only, with all of that, really wonderful insight. Thank you for that. To me, what strikes me most is the degree to which these incredible encounters we have forge in us our countenance as a way of life. Like this was the BDE, a best day ever. This was a look.
Ooh,
if you read this,
impressive, Greg.
This is a best day ever, right?
BDE, he's
just made that up.
Lingo.
This is a best day ever. I don't know if that's actually just you know, best day ever. You know, you got this going on, beginning with the healing of the mother-in-law, but then after sunset. So I like the imagery. Sun has gone down, and look at this. The whole town was gathered at the door. Folks, picture that. The whole town gathered at your door. But the power. He cured many. who were sick with various diseases. He drove out many demons. I mean, think of the power that was must have been reverberating, my new fun word, just overwhelming them with a sense of things have changed. This is not yesterday or last week or the years of any one of their lives, but this is an inauguration of an entirely new way of thinking, an entirely new situation. Hell is bowing. Hell is being subdued. Hell is being taken over. Hell is being invaded by heaven definitively through this person, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And if it's true 2,000 years ago, this is the reality that we in our church live in. We're living in this new situation of the power of God manifest to do these things. And the question that I have is, do we believe it? Are we engaged in that cooperative thing like the mother-in-law's grasp she holds on? Are we reaching for the hand? Again, Father Ricardo's Rescue Project image. Yeah. Are we reaching up and holding the hand and engaging in the battle where it needs to happen most in our lives? And we've said this again and again, the power of parents, grandparents in particular, to take authority over demonic influences and things that are not of God. In the name of Jesus, I command you to leave. And I pray for an infusion of the Holy Spirit. Those are the two movements of authority prayer. Father Ripperger's fabulous book on deliverance prayers. We all ought to read that. But too much dominion is taken by the enemy in absence of our being engaged. There's way too much territory that's allowed to be taken by those of us who are Catholics because we allow the sword to remain in our sheaths. We're not taking it out and exercising authority. And most who are listening right now, I ask the question, when's the last time you took the sword out of the sheath? Do you even know you have a sword? Are you aware that regardless of your sin and confusion and concerns, which we all have about the faith and feeling you're mediocre and whatever, you've still been given the sword. It's still a weapon. It's still at your disposal, and you can still exercise it with power. When's the last time you did that? We should do a whole episode on that. Folks, thank you so much for being on the journey with us and ever deeper, more deeply encountering God's grace and presence and desire to manifest his kingdom in our hearts and our minds, overflowing to our closest relationships. And that's the point of our mission and ministry, to see that happen in marriages and homes. And the tool, this Live It Gathering Guide, is really putting a flag in the sand and saying, not today, Satan. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We want to experience the fullness of the joy and the delight of the kingdom that God has called us to, but we got to respond. As the grasp, Jesus has grasped on the gospel this Sunday, we got to grasp back for him to lift us up. And this Live It Gathering Guide is a great way to do it. So we welcome your questions. We welcome your comments and thoughts at live@massimpact.us. Send them to us. Of course, check out the Live It Gathering Guide. ilovemyfamily.us. Make a commitment every week. And we certainly invite you to please partner with us in this mission. We are 100% going at this in endeavoring to see God's kingdom come alive. Personally, marriage, family, overflowing to the world. It's our passion. It's our mission. We've been at this for 10 years. And we really rely upon your prayers, yes, but your financial partnership. Probably half of our movement is funded by monthly benefactors. And gosh, wouldn't it be great if it was fully funded by monthly partners? So much we could do in time and energy. We could focus on this all the more. So whether it's $5 a month or $500 a month, just, I know you get this message a lot, and I'm just humbling myself. I'm not good at it. We're humbling ourselves and saying, partner with us with a mindfulness that you'll see souls in heaven who wouldn't have been there had you said no. We hear the stories, we get the letters, we see the impact it's having. We're inviting you to join us in sharing in that impact. Working to do that, glad you asked. ilovemyfamily.us, click on that partner tab. Until next time, thank you so much for being with us. God bless you.
God, I'm still counting my blessings.